This is the IBJ podcast for the week of October the 4th, 2021. I'm your host, Mason King. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. More than 80,000 babies are born in Indiana hospitals every year, making four a relatively steady and reliable source of income for hospitals. But it isn't exactly a growth market. For example, in Indiana, in 2015, there were roughly 65 births per 1,000 women between the ages of 15 and 44. Just 4 years later, in 2019, that number had steadily descended to 62 births per 1,000 women between 15 and 44. So, forgive me if it sounds too coarse or too obvious, but hospitals need to compete for the baby birthing dollar. And this isn't a garden variety procedure. It carries a lot of emotional weight for families. A successful birth and good maternity experience can engender hospital brand loyalty for decades to come. Now, the Central Indiana maternity market has six major players: Community Hospital North, Methodist Hospital, Ascension St. Vincent Indianapolis, IU Health North, Franciscan Health Indianapolis, and Eskenazi Health. The range here is about 3,700 births per year at Community, down to about 2,300 at Eskenazi. But there's a major shift underway at Methodist, which has been delivering babies for more than 100 years. IU Health, the state's largest hospital system, is moving maternity care from Methodist to its Riley Hospital for Children, about 2 miles away. It's investing $142 million in this shift, renovating and recasting a five-story tower at Riley for maternity care with labor and delivery rooms, intensive care unit rooms, emergency and triage rooms, operating rooms, and infant resuscitation rooms. Currently, Riley offers newborn intensive care for sick infants, but it is not a maternity hospital. The move, tentatively scheduled for late October or early November, is part of IU Health's effort to address the state's high infant mortality rate. But there are business considerations here as well, as IU Health puts all of its newborn services under one roof. IBJ healthcare reporter John Russell has toured the maternity tower and has a story about the move in the latest issue of IBJ. So I've asked him to be our guest this week to discuss the shift and how it relates to the competitive marketplace for maternity services in Central Indiana. Here's our conversation. I am pleased, as always, to be joined by IBJ reporter John Russell, who covers healthcare. John, thanks for making time today.
It's a pleasure to be back. Thanks for having me.
So help me understand the overarching strategy behind IU Health, which is the parent organization here, moving Methodist's maternity services to Riley Hospital for Children.
Well, okay, this is a very complex story with a lot of tentacles, but to make it as simple as I can, there are two major things really going on here. One is that Methodist is about to undergo its own major revitalization, reconfiguration. It's expanding by 8 blocks or 44 acres and going to have a brand new hospital on the site, south of 16th Street, with three patient towers. And so the old Methodist Hospital is sort of being reimagined. Some of the floors will be kept, a lot of them won't be. And this is a chance to move various service lines to other places. For a lot of people at IU Health, it didn't make sense for the maternity services to be separated from the newborn care services. So Riley specializes, as you know, in newborn and pediatric care. And they've got some of the top services and facilities and medical care at Riley for newborns and for young children. So if a child is born at Methodist and has complications, the best place for it is at Riley, which is like 2 miles away. All these years, it's been separated by 2 miles. And the folks at IU Health decided it was time to bring those two things together so that if a mom had a problem, or if she went to the hospital with a high-risk pregnancy, she could be at the same place under the same roof as her infant that was being cared for there. That's really what's going on in a nutshell.
And when we say maternity services, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, it's labor and delivery rooms, emergency and triage rooms, infant resuscitation rooms. What am I missing?
Yeah, there's a lot. So there's a specialty of emergency care called OBED, which is short for Obstetrics Emergency Department. So if a mom has an emergency, she can be right there with specialists who can handle it in an emergency department setting at Riley. There's resuscitation rooms for infants that are having problems right at birth or right after surgery. Say mom had a very big problem with placenta in the wrong place or some kind of abdominal issue and there needed to be emergency surgery. The infant could be resuscitated right away after it was, after it was removed from the mom. There's, of course, all the what they call postpartum rooms, which are basically recovery rooms where mom and child can stay a few days together with nurses and doctors and a few other specialty services. There's actually, even in the new Riley Tower, there's an ICU unit for, you know, specially dedicated to the maternity services. You know, ICU is the highest level of care in a hospital. So if mom goes into severe distress for one reason or another, one of her systems begins to shut down, she can go into that unit for however long it takes. So there's a lot under one roof.
One thing I was a little bit unclear on is the, this $142 million project. Is this all taking place within in the existing Riley building, or did they add on to some of that?
No, it's all renovation of an existing building. So in the space before, let me back up. So there are five floors to this particular part of Riley Hospital, and they cleared out four of these floors, two through five, which were mostly clinics for child psychiatry, child development, pediatric primary care, and moved those off-site nearby. And completely gutted the interior, put in brand new fittings and walls and hallways and nurses' stations and rooms. And then the first floor is the old historic atrium and the elevator lobby, which is if you're a preservationist, that's a real neat place to visit. But yeah, this is not new construction. This is renovation of an existing space.
So beyond the medical reasons for creating, and I hate this term because it's so overused, but a one-stop shop for maternity services, I assume there also is a business case for the shift and this big investment.
Of course there's a business case. Hospitals are a huge business, and they don't do anything without the business case. And, maternity is one of the biggest parts of a hospital. I would call it almost the front door of a hospital. It's the largest single encounter the community has with a hospital. All these expectant moms going in to deliver their babies. So that's far and away the largest slice of business on a headcount that a hospital has. The question is, how much money do hospitals make on that kind of business, and how competitive that business is with all these other hospitals trying to, attract these moms too. So I will just say that from the number of experts I've talked to, it's not exactly a cash cow. It's a medium type business, even on the maybe toward the break even side, but it's a way to sort of build family loyalty for all the other encounters you might need over the years, from emergency care to trauma care to surgery. You'll go back to the hospital where you have that special bond. And the moms are women are primary decision makers for healthcare in a lot of families. So it's a very strategic move by IU Health and any other hospital that's trying to, do something more with maternity care.
So is Riley going to try to change its marketing identity to focus on, the new advantages that they say they have?
Oh, I'm sure you'll see that coming. It hasn't happened yet, or if it has, I haven't seen it. But, you drive down any road in any town and billboards for healthcare are one of the top categories, and it also prints and broadcast. So, yeah, you've got to imagine that they're coming up with all the services you'll need under one roof for peace of mind. I mean, that's really how they keep phrasing it every time I talk to them. And it's, there's truth to it. It's not a it's not a stretch to say that. But going a step further, you know, Riley, for years, as we talked about, has been the case for high-risk pregnancy and high-risk post-care, what they call neonatal intensive care or neonatal surgery. Neonatal just means newborn. Methodist is where routine deliveries have happened. Now they're going under Riley. Will that branding change now that Riley has both routine and high-risk pregnancies? You know, time will tell, but I think they're going to, you know, push as hard as they can to try and spread its message and build its business.
Has there been a maternity facility arms race in Central Indiana, or are there hospitals investing a lot in the quality of service or the quality of their facilities?
Yes, there has been. There really has been. I mean, this $142 million project is one of the biggest in any service lines in the last few years. So this is far and away a huge investment on space. But all the other major systems have put millions of dollars into either upgrading maternity care or bringing together its women's service lines and putting them under one roof, as Community has done up at its North location. Or Franciscan a few years ago spent $37 million to renovate its women and children's center. As we've said, this is really a way for hospitals to build its business, its core business, by bringing in family loyalty for years to come. And so they're going to be making that upfront investment.
Yeah, I will say that really did ring true for me. When I think about my son's birth 5-6 years ago, the hospital, which was not Methodist, but here in the Indianapolis area, made such an impression on us by the quality of the delivery room. It was like we were in like a 20th century modern hotel. It was swanky, and I was not prepared for that. There was a giant flat screen TV with a Colts game. I think it was a Colts-Eagles game going while we were waiting for the contractions to get closer. And there was a ton of room in there. I mean, and we saw in some other rooms that like full extended families were in, you know, these birthing rooms. Like you get 25 people in there. It turns into an event. And it felt like a very sort of high-end event. And we, ever since then, have felt very positively about that particular hospital. And, you know, if anybody, you know, asked me, or, you know, hey, I need to go to the emergency room really quick, I'd say, you need to go over to Blair, because, I mean, they know what's going on.
That sounds very familiar. It rings true on a lot of levels. So I got a little tour last week of the Riley Hospital, all four floors. You mentioned that the large delivery rooms. Yes, those are the largest rooms to bring in, you know, your 100 closest friends to watch the special moments.
Which struck me as being the weirdest thing ever. I mean, that is just not where I come from culturally. But know. You know, people do it.
Right. And, well, in the center of this particular labor and delivery room, there's the throne, which is, you know, a chair that can be reconfigured into multiple positions for the mom. I have to say that, you know, my wife and I had two children, but we adopted both, so I've never been through this. So it was interesting to see the diagram for how many different positions a mom can be in to deliver the baby. Not news to all the other moms out here listening, but it was to me. And of course, in the corner, which was a surprise to me, was a huge bathtub. For those that wanted a birthing experience underwater, or to help alleviate their birthing pains before birth. Then just tons of space around for all the medical staff and for the family. You also mentioned a 5-star hotel or something like that. And I remember that, speaking of IU Health, they came under some notice, both good and bad, when they opened their North Hospital in Carmel, maybe 12, 15 years ago. That place, even in your standard suites, had cherry fireplaces and bassinets, and it was a sight. I mean, that was an extravagant place. They spared no expense, and I still remember hearing both oohs and ahs and a lot of, wow, was it really necessary to invest so much money in a hospital room?
Do hospitals compete at all on price of childbirth services? Or is that something that, I mean, largely depends on your insurance coverage? It's not something that the parent ends up really seeing the real bill for?
Yeah, you know, that's a whole different complicated story about all the different levels of reimbursement that hospitals will get and how much they charge various health plans. That's the result of numerous types of negotiations and how generous your employer can be in giving you different options and picking up more and more of the costs to keep your price out of a pocket down. But, you know, the average price that I've seen lately was about $16,000 for a standard birth. I wouldn't want to get that bill, but I'm sure the insurance company, you know, gets it first and pays the bulk of it.
My understanding from your story in the IBJ this week, so one-third of all maternity patients at Methodist, about 32%, are on Medicaid, which traditionally reimburses hospitals less than commercial insurance would. But could this new maternity tower or kind of refreshed maternity tower attract more expectant families that are on commercial insurance? Is this potentially a way of getting more money out of the insurance side?
You know, I didn't really look into that closely, so this is just going to be some educated guessing. So the Riley Hospital is going to be serving chiefly the downtown market. IU Health has hospitals all around the region, from Avon to Carmel, all points around the compass. And people don't want to go that far away from home to deliver a baby unless they have to. So I don't think they're going to be flocking from the suburbs down to Riley to deliver their baby just because they have birthing tubs. But if they do have a high-risk pregnancy, I'm sure, and if their doctor tells them that's the place to go, I think that's the place to go. So good question, but I don't see that happening on a large scale.
So, John, I mean, you've toured the facility there. Can you take me on a quick tour? If I'm an expectant mom, I assume I enter on the ground floor. I take an elevator to the second floor. You're typically greeted by a triage nurse who kind of gets a handle on your situation. What would happen from there?
Well, before you get on the elevator, I may sound a little bit like a broken record, but look around at that terrific view from the atrium. You can see up many floors. You can see what the hospital looked like when it opened in 1924. That was the original entrance, and there's still the stone exterior work, which has been, you know, made now interior with additional add-on over the years. But that's a view, and it's a nod to preservation. So, okay, now you can get on the elevator, go up to the second floor, where you're going to be greeted by that triage nurse, and where they're just going to sort of like take a evaluation of your case. Are you about to deliver? Or did your water break? How are your contractions? Are you in pain? That kind of thing. So they can steer you left or right or center. And basically, the various options are, do you need to go to an emergency room? And again, these are dedicated emergency rooms, not for general cases, but for OBGYN. Do you need to go to the operating room? Do you need to go to the ICU? I mean, there are all levels of care there. And the triage nurse is going to be, perhaps doing an ultrasound and taking your vitals and making some quick decisions in consultation with the medical staff to see where you need to go. So that all happens on the second floor. So you'll spend some time there, either in labor and delivery, which is also in that room with you and all your family and friends, or in a high-risk room, or an emergency room, or if you need a cesarean, you'll go to an operating room, and the infant might come out of that situation going to a resuscitation room. So I would say the meat of, you know, the first wave of whatever happens is going to happen on the second floor.
So if there are no complications, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, if there are no complications, you'll go to a different floor. If you deliver the baby and it's a routine birth, you'll go up to a private room for recovery, or what they call postpartum, on the fourth or fifth floors. You know, there's dozens of rooms up there for mom and baby and family. If the infant needs some kind of intensive care for a few hours or days or weeks, that happens on the third floor, where there's no beds for the mom. There's no delivery of rooms. This is all 100% dedicated to the intensive care of a baby, which is the highest level of care for a newborn. So, you know, everything from the routine to some pretty, I would say, pretty scary stuff, perhaps. But, you know, with the level of medical care there, hopefully it turns out well.
And then they have, I think, 45 private rooms just for families who might need to use the NICU.
That's right. I mean, that's So they have a level 3 NICU in this particular tower. And then in the existing Riley Tower, what they call the Simon Family Tower, which is just a few dozen steps over another part of Riley Hospital, they've got a level 4 NICU, which is the highest level of care. So between the two, they've got a lot. They've got, I don't want to add them up because I might get my math wrong here, but perhaps the most NICU at the highest level in the region, if not the state.
I'm very pleased to say that we did not need to use those facilities when we had a child, and I am not in any rush to have another one. but I'm glad this will be a great addition to the Indianapolis maternity marketplace. Thanks so much for walking us through this. I really appreciate it.
You bet. And happy birthing to all the moms out there.
My thanks again to John Russell. You can read his story about the maternity transition in the latest issue of IBJ. And there are a few other stories I'd like to bring to your attention. The clock is ticking for Boone County officials to decide whether they'll raise local income taxes to pay for a $45 million to $50 million jail expansion and justice center to alleviate overcrowding. In the meantime, Kurt Christian reports, some inmates are sleeping on temporary cots and some county employees are working out of storage closets. Also in this week's issue, Leslie Bonilla Muniz details the 9 greenway, trail, and road projects that Indianapolis is planning to help connect the existing trail system and make it easier for bikers and pedestrians to get where they need to go. And Emily Ketterer reports that at least 490 Afghan refugees are expected to permanently resettle in Indiana in the coming weeks or months. Local not-for-profit resettlement agencies are preparing to assist them. Again, you can find these stories in the latest print edition of IBJ or online at IBJ.com. I will say it is quite a bit easier to access all of the latest local news about business and politics and all of IBJ's data on Central Indiana's business community and economy if you're a subscriber. It works out to about $2 per week for actionable information you're not going to find anywhere else. Just go to IBJ.com and click on the subscribe button. Thanks again for making time this week for the IBJ podcast, which is edited by Leslie Weidenbetter. I'm Mason King. Hang in there, everybody. We'll be back again next week.